place set for oral argument in State versus Colander, docket number 48651. We are conducting this hearing via Zoom. Present on behalf of Keegan Colander is Jacob Westerfield, and on behalf of the state, Casey Jones. Mr. Westerfield.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm just glad we were able to get them worked out. Thank you, and may it please the court, counsel. The state's failure to timely request restitution due to an oversight is not a necessary delay. Keegan Colander appeals from the district court's order granting the state's amended motion for restitution. At sentencing in this case, the state requested that the issue of restitution be left open for 30 days, and the district court said that it was leaving the issue of restitution open for a reasonable amount of time, at least 30 days. Within 30 days of the sentencing hearing, the state filed a motion for restitution in this case. However, approximately 2 months after sentencing, the state then filed an amended motion for restitution in which it sought additional restitution on behalf of Wells Fargo. Mr. Colander objected to the amount that was being sought for Wells Fargo in the amended motion for restitution on the basis that it was untimely. Ultimately, a hearing was held on the state's amended motion, and the district court inquired of the prosecuting attorney as to why the amended motion had been filed so late. The only reason that was given by the prosecuting attorney is that this might have been due to an oversight. The district court, however, ultimately granted the state's amended motion for restitution in full in this case. By doing so, the district court abused its discretion because it failed to act consistently with the applicable legal standards that are in place.
Mr. Westerfield?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why did the timing of the amendment matter since the restitution order had not issued when the motion to amend was, or the amended motion was filed?
Thank you, Your Honor. And it comes down to the source of the court's authority to act in a restitution case, and that's contained in Idaho Code 19-5304. And specifically, subsection 6 of that statute sets forth the procedural limits on when the district court can enter a restitution order. It can only do so either at sentencing or at a later date that it deems necessary. So in this case, at the time of sentencing, the state asked for 30 days for the issue of restitution to be left open. Mr. Colander is not objecting or saying it was improper when the state then filed a motion within that 30-day period to seek restitution. But for anything beyond the 30 days, the state needed to provide a reason for why the additional delay was necessary, regardless of the fact that the district court had not acted on it yet. And that's similar to this court's...
Why did the state have to provide a reason, particularly since it wasn't a strict 30-day time frame set forth by the district court?
And thank you, Your Honor. And this would obviously be a different case, perhaps, if the state had filed it on the 31st or 32nd day, or indicated in some way that it was operating under the assumption that it had more than 30 days to file for restitution. But at least in this case, at the hearing on the amended motion, the district court seemed to contemplate that the amended motion was filed beyond its own order. The state seemed to agree with that assessment. It didn't argue that it thought it had additional time past 30 days, and said that the only reason it didn't file within the 30-day period is that there was an oversight on its part. Based on that, at least, there wasn't really an argument raised below that the 30 days, was expansive in some way, but at the same time, the state seemed to think it had to file for restitution within the 30-day period, and that's why it at least filed its original motion within that time.
But would you agree that the timing of the court's order on restitution was unaffected by the timing of the amended motion?
I would disagree with that assessment, Your Honor. In this case, at least in its objection, defense counsel indicated that they had actually been sent a stipulation from the state for the amount of restitution the state was seeking in its original motion, that they had signed that stipulation and sent it back to the state sometime in late April 2020. For one reason or another, the state never filed that stipulation and then filed its subsequent motion on May 14th of 2020. And I would also note, in this case, the judgment of conviction indicated that the district court in order to order restitution, there would need to be a hearing set on it, and the state didn't file a notice of hearing until January of 2021, and there wasn't a hearing until February 2021 as a result. So at the very least, there was kind of a significant delay in the ordering of restitution in this case, first by the fact that the amended motion wasn't filed within a 30-day period, but also on top of that because it wasn't noticed up for hearing for a substantial amount of time afterwards. Looking at this court's case law, starting with State v. Ferguson in 2002, this court has consistently held that interpreting the term necessary in subsection 6 of the restitution statute, that portion of the statute contemplates that a district court can leave open the issue of restitution at sentencing to get the prosecution a reasonable amount of time that is necessary for the prosecution to gather information and properly calculate restitution. Those are the purposes that have been examined by this court across its various cases for why a delay would be necessary. Jensen, the case that occurred after Ferguson, we had a very similar situation to what we have here where there was a substantial delay, in that case 7 years between sentencing and when the state requested restitution. And the only reason that the state gave for the delay is that the case fell through the cracks, which is the same reason that they basically provided in this case, which they said was an oversight. And in that case, Jensen, this court determined that that's not a sufficient reason for a delay, and that a district court cannot order restitution, find that a delay based on that reason is necessary under the terms of the statute, or under the terms of the statute. Likewise, in State v. Keys, this court, even in a matter in which restitution was only requested 5 months after sentencing, still held that the state has the burden of proving that any delay in requesting restitution is on the state, that they have to provide a reason for why it's necessary in order to give the district court authority to act under the restitution statute. That if the state fails to do so, then the district court cannot order restitution beyond the date of sentencing. In this case, the only reason that the state provided at the time of amended motion for restitution for why it was delayed is that the delay was due to an oversight. That was an insufficient reason under Jensen. The state on appeal hasn't argued in its briefing that that was a sufficient reason, that the district court could have found that the delay was necessary. And so on that basis, the district court erred in this case by granting the state's amended motion. And we would ask that this court partially vacate the district court's order in the amount that it ordered for Wells Fargo that was sought the amended motion. If there are no further questions, Your Honor, I would just reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Westerfield. Ms. Jones, argument on behalf of the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and counsel. The district court did not abuse its discretion when it considered the state's amended motion for restitution in this case. Idaho Code 19-5304, subsection 6, allows the court to order restitution at sentencing or at a later date where it has deemed it necessary. Here, the state at sentencing represented that this was a very complicated case, that there were multiple charged and uncharged conduct and victims in play, and therefore it asked for time to request restitution beyond sentencing. The district court deemed that that was necessary, and it granted the state a reasonable time of at least 30 days to seek that restitution. The state filed its initial motion for restitution within that 30-day window, and it thereafter filed an amended motion. Now, on those facts alone, this case differs from the cases that Colander is relying on appeal, and this is not the statutory case that those cases presented. This is not a case where we're arguing for the first time that it should have been left open for restitution based on some necessity. The state argued that at sentencing. This district court deemed that it was reasonable to leave it open at sentencing, and that's what occurred. What's before this court is the district court's discretion to thereafter consider the state's amendment to its timely motion. And Colander has failed to show there was any abuse of discretion in that regard. The district court considered the length of delay, which it determined was not significant in this case, particularly considering the fact that this was all happening in March, April, and May of 2020. When COVID shutdowns were occurring, when the Idaho Supreme Court was issuing a series of orders, suspending hearings and automatically extending deadlines. The court considered if there was any prejudice to the defendant. It considered the fact that the defendant agreed to pay restitution, that the defendant had been provided documents specifically relating to Wells Fargo prior to sentencing and certainly prior to the amended motion. And the court concluded as well that there was no dispute that the amount being sought on Wells Fargo's behalf was in fact the amount of loss incurred by Wells Fargo as a result of the defendant's conduct. So the district court considered those things in its discretion, and it determined that based on that, it was reasonable to consider the state's amendment to its timely filed motion. The state argues that that was the proper analysis. And for those reasons, the state argues that this court affirm.
So Ms. Jones, just so I'm clear, is your argument essentially that the statute 19.5304 subsection 6 was satisfied at the time of sentencing when in that moment the district court determined that it was necessary to enter restitution at a later date?
Yes, Your Honor, that is my position. The district court made that determination, left the window, and the state satisfied that by filing the timely motion.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Jones.
Thank you. And if there are no further questions, the state would ask this court to affirm.
All right, Mr. Westerfield, do you wish to present rebuttal? It appears you have 22 minutes if I'm reading the timer correctly.
Well, I apologize. I had myself muted during Ms. Jones's statement. So. Yes, I will go ahead and at least briefly present rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Briefly addressing the arguments from the state, the first argument that I wanted to address is the argument that this is different. The situation that's present in Mr. Colander's case is different than what was seen by the court in Ferguson or Jensen or Keyes, that the main difference being that the state in this case requested at the time of sentencing that the issue of restitution be left open. And while that's certainly relevant as to the restitution that was ordered or that was requested by the state within the 30-day period that it had requested, that doesn't excuse the state's neglect in terms of requesting restitution for Wells Fargo in that 30-day period. At the time of sentencing, the state asked for 30 days for restitution. The district court could have used more precise or clear language when determining how long to leave open the issue of restitution. And again, if this was a case where the state indicated on its amended motion that it thought it had more than 30 days, then perhaps that would be a different issue. But at least in this case, at the hearing on the amended motion, the district court indicated that the amended motion was filed outside of the time that was left open at sentencing. The state didn't disagree with that assessment. It didn't argue that it thought that the issue of restitution was open beyond the 30-day period or for some indeterminate period of time. The only reason the state gave for not filing restitution within 30 days for Wells Fargo was that there was an oversight, and that was the only reason they provided. They provided no other justification or reason for why it was untimely. And so on that basis, this court should determine whether or not that was a sufficient reason, or rather a necessary reason, to delay the entry of restitution. And under Jensen, this court held that an oversight is simply an insufficient reason. Turning to the state's second argument, and this goes towards the reasons that were given by the district court when ultimately granting the state's amended motion at the hearing on the state's amended motion. The state has pointed out that the district court focused on the length of the delay, the fact that there was no prejudice to Mr. Colander as a result of the delay, and that this was all occurring back when COVID was present and there was edicts before the court. As for the length of the delay and the prejudice, as mentioned in the briefing and by this court and Jensen, the issue of prejudice is not relevant in terms of determining whether or not a delay is necessary. The burden of proving that a delay is necessary is on the state. Prejudice may matter in an extreme case where there's a very lengthy period of time between when sentencing occurs and restitution is ultimately sought. But in all of the cases, Ferguson, Jensen, and Keyes, even in those situations where restitution is being sought 6 or 7 years after sentencing, this court has held that the district court and Jensen erred by focusing on prejudice because ultimately all that needs to be examined is whether or not the delay was necessary. And this court has made it clear in its previous case law that a necessary delay under the statute is one in which the state needs additional time to gather information and to correctly calculate restitution. It has not argued that the state has not argued on appeal that the delay in this case that was due to an oversight was necessary in order to gather information or to calculate restitution. And in fact, they couldn't do so based on the statements made by the prosecuting attorney at the time of hearing on the amended motion. At that hearing, the prosecuting attorney said he had all the documents for Wells Fargo even before sentencing, let alone before when the original motion for restitution was filed within 30 days of sentencing, and that the only reason he didn't request it for Wells Fargo is that he made a mistake. And that's the only reason that was given, and this court has found that that's an insufficient reason for a necessary delay. As for the presence of COVID-19, there was an edict before the court. This prosecuting attorney didn't argue or indicate to the district court below that its ability to gather information, to contact witnesses, or to calculate restitution was in any way impaired by the presence of COVID-19. But even if we give the state the benefit of the doubt and look at the Supreme Court's orders that were in effect that extended the deadline for filing motions, that extension took place from mid-March of 2020 through the end of April 2020 and extended the deadline to May 1st of 2020. So even if we gave the state the benefit of the doubt and gave them that additional time to potentially seek restitution, which would include additional time beyond the 30 days it had requested, they still failed to even comply with that order from the court because they didn't file the amended motion until May 14th, nearly 2 weeks later. So while COVID certainly impacted the court's ability to handle these kind of matters, the state didn't argue that its ability to seek restitution in a timely manner was in any way impacted, nor did it give any reason for why it couldn't have simply asked for restitution on behalf of Wells Fargo at the time that it filed its original motion. And so on that basis, and the reasons that were given by the state at the hearing on its amended motion, we would ask this court to partially vacate the judgment.
Mr. Westerfield, do you agree that at the time of sentencing, the district court determined that delay was necessary and that restitution would not be entered at that time?
Yes, Your Honor. There was no objection from defense when the state requested that the issue of restitution be left open, and the district court said that was leaving that issue open, and they haven't argued that the original motion that was filed within 30 days of sentencing was in any way untimely or not within the bounds of what the district court had ordered at the time of sentencing. The only argument that was raised is that the subsequent motion that was filed beyond the 30 days, and especially in this situation where it's filed 59 days after sentencing, that would be untimely.
Well, since delay was determined to be necessary at the time of sentencing, pursuant to the statute, and that is not challenged, why shouldn't Rule 52's prejudice standard apply?
And Your Honor, I would just say that in terms of the delay itself that was deemed to be necessary, it was the district court ultimately ordered, which is a reasonable amount of time, at least 30 days. And in a situation where the state specifically asked for 30 days, it didn't argue that in any way that it thought it had more than 30 days. It didn't argue that prejudice should be the applicable standard in this case when it was before the district court. I would say that those arguments shouldn't impact this court's ability to determine whether or not the amended motion should be considered separately from the filing of the original motion itself. I think ultimately the statute makes it clear that restitution can only be ordered when the delay is necessary. And even if the district court does leave open the issue of restitution, or the state argues that a delay is necessary at the time of sentencing for a specific period of time, that if the state fails to then file within that specific period of time, then it needs to provide a reason for why the additional delay is necessary. I don't think it's an arduous burden on the state. They just need to demonstrate that they were gathering information or contacting witnesses or victims or calculating restitution. I would say in the vast majority of the cases, they do that anyway. It's just in these specific cases like Ferguson and Jensen and Hughes and now in Mr. Colander's case as well, where the state simply made a mistake. The prosecution was honest about the fact that they had made a mistake. And ultimately, though, the court's authority, the court cannot enter a restitution, untimely restitution order based on a mistake itself. If there are no further questions, We would just ask that this court partially vacate the judgment in the amount that was ordered for Wells Fargo. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Westerfield. The court appreciates the briefing and arguments of counsel in this case. The case is submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. The court will be in recess until the 9 a.m. oral argument on January 18th.